When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I like Moose.
I will destroy them all.
Hello, and welcome to The Coordinate, an Attack on Titan podcast, or The Promised Neverland podcast. I'm Tyler, and today I'll be reviewing The Promised Neverland, at least the first 3 episodes. So if you never listened to this podcast before, we're normally an Attack on Titan podcast, but since Attack on Titan's not airing right now, me and Bill are trying to figure out the next thing we're going to watch. So we're suggesting different shows for each other to watch, and Bill has suggested for me to watch The Promised Neverland, which going into this, I had little to no expectations for. Just looking at a thumbnail for it, I'm pretty sure I'd scrolled past it on like Hulu or something, and it did not look interesting at all. The main characters are children, and the thumbnail, for some reason, their appearances made me think they were fairies. Don't think they're fairies now after watching 3 episodes. And then the title of it made me think they're fairies too, because it's like a reference to like Peter Pan, I suppose. And no, it's not. I mean, it is a reference to Peter Pan because, yeah, these are the children who will never grow up because they get eaten by demons. So yeah, this is an anime series about children who are being farmed to be eaten by demons. So that's pretty cool. But yeah, before getting into it much, let's talk about some of the creators behind it and just some fun things like that. So first of all, I don't know how I missed this anime because it's hugely popular. It's sold over 32 million copies, which for context, I don't know what that means. but for some context that I can like comprehend, this was the second most watched anime at the time, like at the largest opening for its season 2. It was the second most, just behind Attack on Titan, the final season, presumably part 1. So yeah, it's hugely popular. And it's had, you know, a Japanese live action film made. There's actually an English Amazon series, like pre-production. I don't know. They're working on it. Yeah, I don't have high expectations for that. But apparently the Japanese film's pretty good, which is surprising because looking at pictures of it, I'm pretty sure all of the actors are adults. And I'm curious to see if they're playing 11-year-olds or what's happening there. So this this anime, it started out as a manga. And that ran in Shonen Jump from August 2016 to June 2020, so not a huge run, only like 4 years, which is kind of cool. I like series that, you know, they know when to leave. Not everything needs to be a One Piece that runs for your entire life, you know? You just got like a tight story you want to tell, get in, get out. So yeah, I think that's pretty cool, and I think it's cool that the series is already ended, because that means, you know, when they're adapting this into an anime, they have all the stuff there. Like, you're not going to run into a spot where they're going to decide to just like produce a bunch of filler, or they're not going to have to take like a 4-year break or something to let the manga catch up. So that's all good stuff. Just to talk about the creators of the manga, this is interesting to me because I'm not that huge into manga. Like, I've only read Attack on Titan, but from my experience with watching anime, usually the manga creator is both the artist and the like writer. Either they'll have like assistants and stuff, but for this series, there is a distinct writer and a distinct artist, which is cool. Like, I feel like that makes sense. Like, not everyone can draw that has good story ideas. So I always thought it was kind of weird that, you know, they were like one and the same. Also, that's a lot of work. But yeah, so the writer, his name is, gonna butcher this, don't know why I'm trying, Kaya Shira, and that is a pen name, and apparently no one knows his real name or birthday or like anything about him. So that's pretty cool that you can make something this popular and no one have literally any idea who you are. The artist, her name is Pozuka Demizu, and yeah, I don't know anything else she did. I tried to look into it, but apparently they partnered together on a lot of stuff, so presumably she knows who he is. But yeah, still, I think that's cool that he goes by a pen name and no one knows who he actually is. So now, on to the actual show. So I mentioned this is a series about kids who get eaten by demons, and yeah, that's exactly what it is, but that's not how it starts out. It starts out with it being a show about just some sweet little orphan kids who are living in an orphanage, and they have mother figure that they call Mom, and they all love her, and she loves them, and they refer to each other as family, and they all seem super, super happy. And we're introduced to Emma's our main character, I'd say, and she's just like super friendly. She's very helpful with all the kids. You know, she's just like a good big sister. And so she is one of the oldest kids. She's 11, and there's two other 11-year-olds who are Norman and Ray, who are, I'd say those three are the main characters as far as I've seen so far. And yeah, so they're all, the one negative thing I will say about this anime is that the characters are kind of one-dimensional, at least as they're introduced. The three main characters have, like, you know, Emma is like super friendly, and that's also her weakness, and then Norman is super smart, and then Ray is like kind of lazy. Like, you know, he doesn't necessarily like a challenge. Like, if he hits a wall, he just gives up. But he's also like exceptionally good at things. Yeah, they're a little one-dimensional, but I think they play off of each other in a way that's fun. So let's get back to what's happening. So, you know, we're introduced to them. They're all happy, happy, cool, cool. And they play tag a lot, which their version of tag's a little different than what I think of tag. Like, I feel like they're played in hide and go seek, but they call it tag, so, you know, I'll let them do their thing. In my mind, tag is when you tag someone, they become it, and then now they're tagging people, but people hide, and then they get tagged. So, why am I talking about tag so much? I don't know. Tag's actually a huge part of the show, so there's a reason I'm thinking about tag a lot. But anyway, so as the episode goes on, there's one kid who we find out, she's one of the younger ones, she's 6, and we find out that, like, today she's gonna be adopted. And they're all talking about, like, all the kids that get adopted, no one ever writes, and they're like speculating why that is. And some kids suggest that they're just like so happy that they never think about the orphanage again, and then other kids suggest that they think it would offend their family, like their new parents, to write their old family. And Connie's like, no, I'm definitely gonna write you guys. I don't think I said her name before, but she's the kid who's getting adopted, and she's like, no, I'm definitely gonna write you guys, and when I grow up, I can't wait to be a good mom just like Mom. And she's got her little bunny that she loves, and like, it's not like a real bunny, it's like a stuffed bunny, but it's important that she loves it, because when Mom's like taking her to go get adopted, Emma, Norman, and Ray realize that poor little Connie left her bunny behind, so they gotta go take her a bunny. So Norman and Emma are the ones who do it, and they get to like the edge of the, I guess, like the orphanage's property, and at that point, there is a really low fence around everywhere, and then there's also a gate, and they're not allowed to go beyond there. So it's kind of like Attack on Titan, where, you know, you got this thing that's supposed to be protecting you because there's things that can hurt you out there, but also it's really just trapping you in, and then also if you go outside of it, you get eaten. So, yeah. Anyways, they decide to, like, sneak out, and they'll just deal with the consequences later, because they don't think they're gonna get, like, in that much trouble. But, so they get out there, and they see a car for the first time, and they're like, okay, like, looking around, trying to see if they can find Connie and Mom to give the bunny to. And what Emma finds is Connie's dead body in the car. And she like freaks out, and then Norman sees it, and then they hide because they hear like some people coming. And then we see that they are like monstrous creatures, and they're talking about eating the kid, and they're talking about how it's been like a poor harvest lately. And I guess like the orphanage they're at is like the number one farm that always produces the highest quality. And it's like implied that the younger ones are like poor stock, like they harvest them at younger ages if they're not high quality. And yeah, we'll get into what makes high quality here in a bit, but they're all very freaked out by that. And as soon as they can, they run away, but they accidentally leave a little bunny behind. So mom finds it and knows that someone knows about the harvest. So there are some indications earlier on in the first episode that there's something weird going on, because we get a flash of just like everyone sitting at the table eating, and then we see their necks have like tattoos of numbers. And it's like, okay, that's a bit strange. That seems kind of like prisoner-ish. And then they do these like really intense tests. Why are they doing these intense tests at an orphanage? Like, what's going on there? And Emma, Ray, and Norman all score perfect on it. And I guess they keep doing that all the time. And everybody else is like doing real bad at it. So turns out the tests are for determining how good of a stock they are, like how good of a product, I guess how tasty they will be. Because what the demons want, at least this is all speculation from Norman. So I don't know if this is true or not yet, but Norman proposes that the demons want to eat just their brains, or at least that's the tastiest part. And the more developed their brains are, better they taste. So basically, the older the kids are allowed to get before being harvested is determined by how well they do on test. So do good on the test, you get to live longer, your brain gets to develop more, and you taste better. But we find out that all kids get harvested by their 12th birthday, and I think the earliest they get harvested is at their 6th. So I guess if they're just kind of dumb by their 6th birthday, you know, they give them until then to see how they do, and then they're still dumb, they just go ahead and get rid of them. So I guess Connie was stupid, which is funny because Attack on Titan, Connie is stupid. So then their mom gets a second, she's kind of like a nun. She gets like another nun to come help out. And this woman's crazy. We see a conversation between mom, whose name is Isabella. So we get a conversation with Isabella and the new nun lady. And she's explaining the situation about how there's been like a breach and some kids know about it and they need to figure out who. But they also don't relay this back to the demons. They're trying to keep it under wraps. And the new lady, there's like an implication that she was previously a kid at this orphanage. So I have the question of like, what did they have to do to survive? But this woman is straight crazy because she also talks to a doll like it's a real person. And maybe you have to be crazy. Like, if you're crazy, you don't taste good. So they let you live to raise children in their farms. Don't know yet. So this new nun lady, she wants to betray Isabella, find out which kids know about it, and turn them in, as well as Isabella, into the demons so that they will make her a mom of an orphanage. Yeah. So that's a lot. Meanwhile, we have Norman and Emma are just trying to go about like their normal lives and blend in. They figure out that they estimate that they have about 2 months before another kid gets harvested. So in that time, they need to figure out how to escape. And Emma insists on taking everyone, and Norman agrees with her. They decide to bring Ray into the mix because he's, you know, the other smartest one. And Ray is less about bringing everyone, but they kind of force it on him. So they find out that beyond the small fence is a giant wall, and it's like super smooth and there's nothing you can climb on it. So they think the best way to go about it is using a rope of sheets to get over it, but they don't know how they're going to get all the little kids over. And Emma comes up with a plan that they will train by playing tag. So they won't tell the kids what's happening. They'll make it out all to be a game, and they'll just play like some really intense tag where like everyone's it and they have to catch Norman. Yep, because he's like real good at tag. And that's about as far as I got. Like, They decide they're not going to tell the little kids because they don't know if, one, they'll believe them. Two, they suspect that there is a traitor in their midst. Oh, also they have like trackers in their ears that they discover because mom shows off that she can like find them with a watch in like a sort of subtle way, like a watch-like device. So they realize that there must be some way for them to be tracked. And so they're like, how'd this tracker get inside of us? So when they bring in a newborn, Emma just like does her normal caring sister thing. It's like putting a diaper on it, dressing it, all that thing. And she like searches it over to see if there's like any kind of like place where like a scar or anything, like fresh wound where something was implanted, and they find it and it's in like their top of their ear. So they had to figure out how to get those out or deactivate them or something. And but yeah, I really, really, really dug this anime, and it's probably my favorite thing that I'm currently watching. Yeah, I'm curious to see what's out there beyond this world. Like, what's this demon society like? Because there's not that many kids, so I'm assuming children are expensive to eat. They probably eat other things. One of the demons actually mentions eating a cat, and the other demon's like, you eat those things? So now it's time to put this in our list and, like, rank it. And, you know, this is our list of what we will most likely cover after Attack on Titan ends. And so at the very top, we have 86, which I need to watch because we had some feedback from Benjamin in the Discord, which you can join the Discord by going to probablywork.com/discord or look in the show notes, link there. So yeah, he watched 86, at least the first three episodes, and said it was boring, so I don't know. Bill could be wrong, and this should not be at the top of our list. I really need to watch it and weigh in. But yeah, so at the top, we've got 86. Then we have Jujutsu Kaisen, and then we have Dick Fight Island. And then at the very bottom, we have Log Horizon. At least for now, because guess what's going at the very bottom? It's The Promised Neverland. And I'll tell you why after this commercial break. Yeah, so I loved these first three episodes. I can't wait to watch more of this anime. But we're not going to be doing a podcast on it. Because apparently they completely fucked it in the second season. Yeah, first season, amazing. Everyone loves it. The manga, amazing. Everyone loves it. Second season of the anime is the second most popular thing on Crunchyroll. And then after episode 5, they just like decided to rapidly bring it to the end of the manga series, from what I understand. So yeah, they just brought it to the end. Like, it doesn't end at episode 5, but I think it's like a 12-episode season. So from episode 5 to 12, the pacing just gets screwed up, and they just rush through the story. They, like, don't bother doing world building, and then they just, like, end it. And I assume it ends where the manga ended, or maybe they just made something up. It's not very clear, but they're not making a third season of it. And that sucks. This show is really good. I feel bad. I've put both of the things Bill's recommended at the bottom of the list every time. But Bill, you did a good job recommending this, because this show is awesome and you should watch it. And I guess the good thing about it being at the bottom of the list is we can, you know, watch the anime and then I guess read the manga without having to wait a year, so like that's nice. But man, it sucks. I'm curious if they do the Amazon series, if they will, you know, more accurately adapt it, and if it'll actually be good. I don't know, how's that gonna work as a live action series though, because kids get old fast. Like, look at Stranger Things. They had that one kid be, like, hunched over for a season to make him look smaller. And he just looked weird. I've never been so disappointed. So I guess I should talk about why I know that in the first place. I knew that the manga came to an end. So I was like, okay, when considering ranking this, I was like, do I put this above 86, below 86? I haven't seen 86. So I was like, I guess I need to watch 86. But I decided to look into this first, since the manga already came to an end. I was like, let's see how people felt about the ending of the manga. And people generally like it. But along looking into that, I found out none of the details of the ending. But I know people hate the second season of the anime because of how it just rushes through the material to get to the end. And yeah, so that's how I found out about that. Anyways, so next week, we are not actually going to be doing an anime series like this. We're going to be back to Attack on Titan, finally. We're going to be doing the OVAs, because it was just announced on Crunchyroll that they're going to be releasing the dubbed OVAs weekly. So yeah, it'll be cool for finally, like, our dubbed and our, like, subbed listeners, we can all be on the same page for once and not have to have, like, separate feeds in our Discord and stuff like that. The subs have been out there for a long time, but I guess this is the first time the dubs are being released, so that's pretty cool. And so next week, Bill's going to be doing, I think it's Isle's Notebook, Isle's Journal, something like that. We've already covered this before when we did the manga, because it was in there, but I'm curious to see what Bill thinks about it now. And I'm not going to tell Bill what he's watching next time. I'll just wait until we get done with the Attack on Titan stuff, because we're going to be doing this for a couple of weeks. So, I don't know. It's cool to be back on Attack on Titan. Thank you, Crunchyroll, for kind of forcing our hands with this, because we were planning on recording all of the OVAs together just over the next, like, several months. And looking at our schedules, we were going to be able to record together until, like, June. So, yeah, I'm kind of glad we were just going to go ahead and get in here and check them out, because there's some of these OVAs that are differently toned than Attack on Titan. There's one that looks really funny from screenshots I've seen of it. It's like there's like a cook-off or something, and I can't wait to watch that. But you can recommend things for us to watch in the Discord. We'll get back on this after we get done with Attack on Titan OVAs. And until next time, don't get eaten by demons. For this trek, the final frontier. These are the voyages of
MC
Troy
and Eric.
Their mission: to introduce Tyler to strange new episodes,
to seek out the best and worst media in the Star Trek franchise,
to boldly go where several podcasts have probably gone before.
You could listen to these goobers talk about Star Trek by searching for Too Young for This Trek or by visiting probablywork.com.
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.